Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, coming to you live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex as the Atlanta Hawks announced Cam Reddish just about an hour ago. You heard the press conference here on 92.9 The Game. Also had a chance to sit down with Cam Reddish in our last segment. If you missed it, check it out on the website, 92.9thegame.com. The Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open as well, 404-741-0929. Now we'll get to the most important audio of the day coming up in about 25 minutes, because we're nice enough to be joined here by Hawks General Manager Travis Schlenk. How are you, Travis?
Hey, Travis.
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing real good.
Just had a chance to sit down with Cam Reddish for about 15 minutes there, talk to him about all kinds of different stuff. The number one takeaway I have from talking to him is he sounds incredibly happy to be in Atlanta.
Yeah, we were really fortunate this year. There were a lot of guys going through this process who expressed interest in coming to Atlanta. I think, you know, obviously they saw the success that we had the second half of the season with our young group and thought it'd be a great place to come in and blend. But Cam in particular seems extremely excited about the city. You know, he spent time here in the past, obviously playing AAU ball and stuff like that. So anytime you can get a guy who's excited to come to your organization, that's a bonus.
Travis, the Wizards at 9, and you're sitting there like, okay, I got, because I heard you talk about how y'all targeted Cam and everything like that, and they don't pick him. How excited were you right then and there at that point?
Yeah, we had a hunch that he was going to get by them. Uh-huh. You know, going through the process, you spend a bunch of time talking to all the different teams, you know, trying to pick their or, you know, read through the trees, so to speak, because, you know, everyone's lying to each other.
Right.
But, you know, we have the whole staff talking to their whole staff and just trying to figure out what they're going to do. So we felt like that he was going to get past 9. But, you know, there are a couple other teams a little higher up we weren't sure about. So, as you know, as he made, you know, through those different spots, you know, there's a big sigh of relief. And then, you know, obviously when he gets past 9 and they go a different direction, that's when we knew we had him and we were excited.
Why do you think he was there? I mean, we've talked a lot about Cam Reddish being so talented, and we agree that he is. Why do you think, with a top five grade that a lot of teams had on him, why was he available at 10?
I think when you look at last year at college, obviously playing really third wheel to both RJ and Zion, you know, you see that, and, you know, you want more. And then I think the injury had a factor as well. You know, he got hurt during the year, played through it all year long, and then really kind of hurt himself at his pro day he was having out in Phoenix. And then he wasn't able to work out for other teams. So, you know, you weren't able to see the skill set, you know, when he came in to visit you. And that's, you know, probably shouldn't be a factor, because, you know, we're not judging what these guys are going to be like during summer league. We're
right.
Supposed to be judging what they're going to be like 3 or 4 years down the road. But I do think that played a factor.
When you look at his game and you look at what this team did last year, where does he fit in there?
I think what he brings to the table is just his all-around versatility. You know, he's a guy growing up that handled the ball a lot. He's a really good facilitator. He can get in the lane and make plays for himself and others. You know, last year at Duke, he was just kind of thrown out on the perimeter and said, all right, you're going to be our spot-up shooter, because some of their other guys weren't great shooters, so he's kind of thrust into that position. But I think what you're going to see here is he does have that all-around skill set that maybe he wasn't able to show at Duke as much as certainly he would have liked to, and the way we're going to use him, or he'll be able to do that.
Hawks General Manager Travis Schlenk joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. One thing that folks had said about Cam is, I mean, he's obviously a very laid-back guy. We just got a chance to talk to him. He's cool. There's no doubt about it.
He is.
He got to be cool to pull off the jacket that he was wearing, too.
Swaggy.
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 And he did. But sometimes people maybe misconceive that to be lack of motor or something like that. Do you feel like Coach Pierce might be the right person to have a guy who may be a little bit laid-back to get him around a fiery coach like Lloyd Pierce?
Yeah, one of the big reasons why we made the decision last year to bring in Coach Pierce was he has an unbelievable ability to connect with young people, and bring the best out of them. And that's a huge part of coaching, obviously. But just being able to establish that relationship with these guys and connect with them, that's invaluable. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, take out all the X and O stuff. That's one of the reasons why Lloyd, we thought, was a perfect fit for us.
When you look at the all-around game that Cam brings to it, and we know last year, you know, the young Hawks, they were had a little trouble on the defensive side of the ball. How important is he to that part of it also?
Yeah, well, anytime we're out there looking for players, if we can find players that can impact the game on both sides of the court, I mean, that's obviously the first thing you're looking for. And he has that with his length, you know, the 7-foot wingspan, and a great anticipation, and the willingness to go out there and defend. There's a lot of guys that have the physical attributes to be able to do it, but they don't have the willingness.
Right.
And he's got that. So certainly being able to add those guys to the mix is a huge bonus.
I know that you might not want to do this, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway. if we could take like a retrospective up until this point, you knew what the plan was when you came in. You were going to retool things to try to go young through the draft and build the roster up. How do you feel like it's gone up until this point? How do you think you've done in terms of trying to rebuild where the Hawks are going in the time that you've been here?
We feel good about the progress we've made. You know, I say it all the time, and people think by now probably think I'm joking. But you know, it takes a little bit of luck. It takes a little luck to have guys that you kind of target for them to actually be there, because we don't control what the other 29 teams do. So, you know, first year, John Collins, you know, we had him rated much higher than 19, but he got to 19 in the draft. So, you know, we were extremely excited about that. You know, last year we took, we felt really good about a couple guys in the draft, and we felt like, you know, we'd be happy with either one of them, and they both turned out to be great players. But we saw the opportunity to be able to get another lottery pick. You know, my analytics staff said, you know, some people said they're going to be much better. We projected them to finish eight. They finished tied for eight. So, you know, those guys deserve a lot of credit.
No kidding.
So, you know, they ended up at the 10th pick, and that 10th pick turns into Cam Reddish. So we feel good about that. Obviously, Dallas feels great about their trade, and I would too if I worked for Dallas. So, you know, those kind of trades, when you can maximize your assets, that's what we're looking to do. And, you know, this year we kind of took a different approach. You know, we can't really talk about it, but you know, we took some assets and we combined them.
I can't wait to talk about that.
Oh man, we're counting down.
So many questions about that also.
Travis, you just said something about, you know, the way sports is going, the analytical way. How much of it do you use in the process of that you when you're making decisions for the squad?
So this would be a great story if it was July 7th.
Dog it.
That's a great teaser. That's a great radio tease right there. Join us on July 7th.
No, listen, certainly that's a big part of it. But, you know, and I said this to our guys on draft day, you know, we're debating back and forth and, you know, essentially arguing about the value of second round picks in future years. And I told our analytics guys, I said, listen, man, I hear you. But Jerry West used to tell me all the time, he's like, don't sweat the small stuff.
Right.
Get what you want. And, you know, we're able to accomplish what we set out to do in this, and it's costing us some second-round picks. Let's move forward.
General Manager Travis Schlenk joining us here. Had a chance to talk to Cam Reddish about 15 minutes ago. If you want to check that out online, if you missed it, 929thegame.com on the Andy and Randy page. You mentioned Jerry West as a mentor. I wonder when you get into situations preparing for the draft or in the heat of the moment and it comes time to really make a tough decision, is there anyone specifically that you think back on as an influence, whether it is a Jerry West or someone like that you can draw from?
Yeah, I mean, I've been unbelievably fortunate in my time in the NBA, just the people that I've been around. You know, when I started way back with a full head of hair and a flat stomach in 1998, you know, Chuck Daly was the head coach in Orlando Magic, and then I worked in the Miami Heat for 4 years with Pat Riley and, you know, Stan Van Gundy, Eric Spoelstra, all those guys. You know, in Golden State, you know, had the opportunity to work with Don Nelson, and then obviously then Jerry West and, you know, Bob Meyer. So I've been unbelievably fortunate. So I really take bits and pieces from all of them, certainly. But I've got this draft day tradition, I guess. It's started 2 years in a row that I go on a walk here from the practice facility. Initially, I got rained on, but and I call Bob, and Bob and I talk just about, you know, where both teams are, what we're doing. So it's always – it's kind of turned into a little tradition, I guess.
When you were talking to your press conference about, you know, SOCAM at the AAU thing like that, how often do you get to those things? And is there like a 14-year-old right now that you got your eye on maybe in 6 years or so?
I bet there is.
I know you can't say his name or anything, but right. I'm saying you got to pencil down like, hey, watch this kid in maybe 3-4 years.
So it's getting harder now that I have this job. You know, when I was in Golden State, that's a big part of what I did in the summer times. You know, this past year, I wasn't able to go to the Nike Skills event or the Adidas Nations tournament they have out in LA every year. But certainly we have people off our staff that are doing that. You know, we have the under-18s European Championships this year and American Championships this year. Those are tournaments that I used to go to all the time. I can't afford the time to go to them all right now, but certainly our staff's there. So, you know, we're watching these kids every opportunity we get. And obviously, you know, they're going to start allowing high school kids to come back in. So, you know, we have dedicated staff folks just to watch the high school kids. So when that rule changes, we'll be ready for it.
I know that we can't talk about certain things, but I think I can ask you about why we can't talk about these certain things maybe. Do you think that this is something that maybe the NBA might want to take a look at so we're not sitting here in this weird 2.5-week period where we have to pretend like something didn't happen? Do you think it's something the NBA should maybe look at?
Well, so you can't talk about transactions or other teams' players until they posted. So, you know, what happens in the draft or this time of the year is you make transactions with other teams based on, you know, cap space you're going to have the following year. And you can't do those until they know what the cap is. So we're stuck till July 6th to do those things. I don't know the way to get around it. Like you said, it seems silly we can't do that. But, you know, you start bending rules one way or the other, and then you get into tampering and all that other stuff. So, we do our best.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, I mean, we know. Like, it's the funny part about it is, like, we all know. Everybody knows. But, you know, of course, we don't want anybody to get in trouble.
We're smart enough to decipher it.
Exactly.
But it'd just be nice if you pick a guy, he could put your hat on when he walks across the state.
It does seem a little strange.
Yeah.
Huh?
It was very.
And what happens to the hat that he wears of the team that he's not going to? Does he keep it?
No. I know one individual did not keep it. He gave it away.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's all we need.
I can't wait to ask you about that on July 7th.
July 7th.
It was a Lakers hat.
It was.
I'm getting close.
You're getting close.
I'm close.
Yeah.
We don't want to get you in.
I got a deal. We split the fines.
Oh, is that right?
Like us three?
Yeah. Talk to Randy about that one.
Hey, Travis.
You got us.
Okay, that's fine.
Show.
Because he told us to go at your neck. Now, he told us to go after you today, and that's mainly because he's not here to do it. But he had his opportunity. But, Travis, Summer League is coming up. Are there going to be any players, any young players from last year that are going to participate in the Summer League this year?
Yeah, we're going to have Omari Spellman play Summer League this year, and then Jalen Adams is going to play with us as well in Summer League this year.
Anyone of note that's not going to be? I know that Cam's not going to be able to go. I think I heard that Kevin Herter's not going to be playing as well. Is that right?
Yeah, we're not going to have Kevin this year. Kevin's been here all summer long, really focusing on building his body up. So we're trying to get him ready to go. You know, with the kind of looking at the future here with him, not so much worried about July, but we want him to be 100% ready to go when we get to October.
You going to watch the NBA Awards tonight? I think it's 9 o'clock on TNT.
Yeah, that's past my bedtime.
It's too late? It might be an important.
I'm old, man.
Somebody might win an award tonight.
Somebody might win an award. The guy that you drafted.
It could be.
He might be walking across the stage in a tuxedo
I'll read about
with shorts
at 3 a.m. when I wake up.
Oh, you're a 3 a.m. riser. Now, my last question for you is that they talked to you. You talked to the media after the draft, and it was like, you're going to get a glass of wine. What kind of wine do you prefer?
It was good wine. Tony Ressler picked it out.
I told you. Some good wine.
Maybe French. It was good.
It was good.
I didn't pay for it. It was
nice. Oh, that makes
it
better.
It was a red, I assume?
Yeah. Nice. Bordeaux, I believe.
Nice.
Real tasty.
Good for you.
I had about two many glasses because I felt bad Friday morning. Yeah. Getting too old.
Well, we heard you on the morning show. We were driving into work, and we heard you on the morning show with Johnny Hugh. You just sounded
fine.
You sounded fine.
Yeah, well.
If I sounded like that hungover, I might drink more often.
Exactly, because he was composed.
I didn't say it was that bad.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, you didn't fall for the trap of maybe, you know, leaking some stuff. You were on point. You stayed right down in that.
Just
in that,
had the garbage truck in the background.
That's what it was. Was that
and
what
the
that
bird
was? And the bird.
Yeah. Travis, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much, man.
Obviously, probably a nice time of year for you, having the draft in the rear view mirror a little bit, and on to the summertime. We appreciate the time, and obviously, great work last week.
Thanks a lot, Travis.
Oh, no. Thanks, guys.
That's Travis Schlenk, the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Lloyd Pierce is going to join us in about 20 minutes from right now. We got a couple minutes here to sit and react to some of what we heard there from Travis. But it's awesome. Unfortunately, we can't talk about what happened earlier in the first round, but it's awesome to just sort of get the vibe with everybody around here. Everyone seems very
positive,
and rightfully so, very excited about what happened last Thursday.
Very positive. It's been a very positive vibe since we've been here, and we had a whole lot of fun Saturday talking about, well, you don't like draft grades unless it's a team that you root for, has
a
good one. You know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is that when you listen to us, of course, because we are, you know, we're the home of the Hawks. But you listen to outside national pundits, and everybody is just raving about the Hawks draft. And we don't know yet. You don't, because the one thing about it is, Andy, it's still a puzzle, and you got to make sure all these parts fit. And with that being said, not all the parts are going to fit. We know that. You know, it's going to be one, and somebody's not going to live up to their draft right now. I don't know who that is, but I think the most exciting part is that Travis and Lloyd and the Atlanta Hawks organization, they had targets, and they knew where they need to get better. They need to get better on the wing. They knew that. They needed another ball handle. They got that. And he's absolutely right about Cam. And I think that could have been – and the one thing about him was that he was – I want to say that he was the third wheel. He was the Chris Bosh. He was the Kevin Love.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Used to, like he said, I'm used to having the ball in my hands, but now I'm sitting here and I'm playing off the ball. And he's going to have to do that in the league. But – they got another ball handler that can get his own bucket and facilitate.
And he's familiar with playing with really talented players, too. I mean, Cam Reddish, obviously, once you get to that level, you played AAU. He played on the U.S. team with a lot of really good guys. He mentioned knowing some of these guys and playing with them, Kevin Herter specifically. And then, like you said, at Duke with Zion and RJ, he also played with Mo Bamba in high school. Mo Bamba was his high school teammate. So Cam Reddish has been surrounded by really talented players for a really long time now. And now he gets here and is surrounded by more. But I think that that's actually something that can be valuable in that, yeah, he might have got lost in the shuffle a little bit at Duke. But to know how to deal with that and navigate it and not always be the number one most catered to person on the roster.
It says a lot.
Once you get to the NBA, you're not going to be that immediately.
And it says a lot when I'm always having fun and making fun of millennials and Gen Z and all that. But it is especially basketball, it's such an individual type thing. Like the AAU thing, I'm trying to get mine and everything. And it also says a lot about Coach K and how he, you know, he can have these kids take a back seat. And I think Cam, he took the ultimate backseat of those three guys.
He did. Yeah. He did. Sound like he gave his hat away. DeAndre gave his hat away, huh?
Yeah, man, I don't want
I like
this.
That. I don't wouldn't want
man,
a Lakers
I don't want
hat.
This.
Keep your Lakers hat. Yeah. I'm not wearing those colors.
I don't want this.
No, thanks. But, can't wait till July 7th when I actually get to put on the hat that I want to put on.
I thought we had Travis. I thought he might have.
We almost got him.
Maybe he was on with us when he had the wine. We'd have got him.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
I'm glad you asked him about that.
Yeah, we might have got him.
A nice fancy Bordeaux brought by Tony Wrestler.
So you know that.
Tony Wrestler's a billionaire.
You know that. So that was some – they didn't get that from the liquor store.
We were drinking wine last night. Charles Shaw. Probably not quite as good as the Bordeaux that he was drinking.
I bet after the first glass, it all tastes the same.
It all tastes the same.
Exactly.
And you know what? It had the same effect.
Yep.
It did exactly what I was looking for. All right, Lloyd Pierce going to join us next. That's back-to-back-to-back. Cam Reddish. The man responsible for drafting Cam Reddish, Travis Schlenk. And then coming up next, the man responsible for coaching Cam Reddish, Lloyd Pierce, going to join us here live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, the Hawks practice facility, right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, coming to you live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, the Atlanta Hawks practice facility, as Cam Reddish was announced earlier this morning in his press conference as well. You heard that live right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home for the Atlanta Hawks. Had a chance to talk to Cam Reddish about 45 minutes ago. Had a chance to talk to Travis Schlenk, the man who drafted Cam Reddish, about 15 minutes ago. And now we get the opportunity to talk to the head coach, Lloyd Pierce, sitting down to join us. How are you, Coach?
Coach.
I'm good. I used to be the first guy in here. Now you guys push me to the end.
Oh,
well, hey, man. Look.
See the difference a year makes.
We take them out, we can get them, Coach.
Yeah. We don't make decisions like that. we just take whoever comes in here. We're happy that you're in here with us now. But look, man, lottery picks come in and sit down. We chat with lottery picks. And I understand that you're excited to have Cam Reddish in the building today too, I would imagine.
I am. You know, there's so many different scenarios that happen on draft day. And, you know, the mock drafts are fun, but the draft is the only one that really matters. And we knew there was going to be a lot of movement. And he's a guy that I'm sure Travis talked about. We targeted for a long time. And now you try and figure out, well, how do we get him?
Exactly.
To get him at 10 is mind-blowing. You know, we had scenarios all over the place, and Travis does an unbelievable job of creating scenarios. What if we moved up? What if we moved back? Where, you know, what are our opportunities to get him? And even some of the other guys, how do we still position to get some other guys? You know, we stuck with 10, and, you know, the cards were dealt, and you see at pick number 8, you know, Jackson Hayes, and at pick number 9, you know, I don't even know if Rui was set. We were already cheering because right. We knew what was happening.
Right.
Where did you watch the draft?
We're just here. We're all here, and we have our war room or meeting room, and you know, it's you know, again, the Phoenix Minnesota trade just kind of threw us off,
right?
Because now, you know, we thought we knew what Phoenix was going to do, but we didn't know that was happening. And now we have no idea what Minnesota is going to do. And so I think that's the beauty of the draft. No matter what happens leading up to it, when that day occurs and you're on the clock and someone presents an offer or a situation, things change.
Coach, a lot of times whenever I hear you on our station or Travis, the phrase always going to position versatility. And you got a guy like Cam that can do so many different things. And I asked him, and I asked Travis also about where do you see, because you're the one that's got to put him in place to be successful. Where do you see him playing this year for you?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's tough because I know what Trey is capable of doing right now. And that's where we start, and I know exactly how to use Trey and John together, and that's where we start. And so, you know, we're gonna put Cam in some different situations and see if he can help there, and then we're gonna put him in some other situations, sprinkle it here, and see if he can grow there. And then at the end of the day, we'll know a little bit more. You know, there's so much made about his college year, and the collegiate and NBA games are so different. And so it doesn't bother me, or it doesn't influence my decision one bit. I just know he's capable with the basketball in his hands. The shot is nice. The length and the size, the versatility is impressive. And so I just have to find a way to get him comfortable early, and then we'll talk about what else he's capable of doing.
And Coach, you just got a team last year with a whole bunch of rookies. Now, well, you have one rookie right now that we could talk about. But, I mean, you keep adding these young guys. And Travis always says it's about you, the way you communicate with young people. How is that in this day and age when you talk about the AAU, I got to get mine type, you know, athlete that they have today, how do you kind of make them get rid of that part of that game as far as and want to play team ball?
It's not as difficult. I think the maturation of each player is what's most important. If you mature and you help the growth and development of the person, we'll grow the player. And so if you just focus on the player, that's when you have those type of issues. You know, Coach, I need more shots. And Coach, I'm not worried about your shots, and you shouldn't either. You know, what do we want to do in 3 years? Do we want to be a special organization? Well, if you think this one game not getting enough shots is going to, you know, hold you back, then you got a lot coming. There's other factors that are going to hold you back. This one game where you could have had more shots isn't the case. So how do we grow the player to understand as a big picture, and every day that he comes to work, he's thinking about the big picture? That's what we do. That's why we have Ambassador Young come here and Hank Aaron come here, to give them a global perspective of what sports can do for you. I don't speak to our guys about one game stuff. If you come to me speaking about one game, you know, you probably aren't coming back speaking about one game, because we're going a different direction.
Head Coach Lloyd Pierce joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex. Cam Reddish had his press conference earlier today. Had a chance to talk to him. If you missed the interview, you can check that out on the website, 929thegame.com. Coach, how long does it take to figure out kind of how to motivate different guys? Because not everybody's the same. Not everybody's motivated by the same stuff. How long do you have to be around someone before you kind of realize how to push their buttons?
Sarcasm helps. and I have a crew of coaches that are, you know, more sarcastic than I am. And you know what we do is we just poke at them. and we see what gets them smiling. We see what gets them laughing. We try and figure out what gets them talking. And, you know, if I'm just lecturing, I'm not learning anything about our guys. And so I try and step back, and, you know, only time I talk is I'm just jabbing here and there, you know, competition, anything. And then we can go from there. You know, when I watch film, I show them bad stuff. You know, what happened on this play? Why you get your shot blocked? And you know, see how they respond. If they can't handle seeing themselves negatively, I know I can't go at them all the time. They have that's an issue. It's a real issue. You know, if a guy lights up every time he sees, okay, next time I play him, you know, I know he's got a competitive spirit. And so film helps. Being able to utilize film, it helps show me, you know, how they respond to adversity or how they respond to seeing themselves.
When you say that right there, and this is, you know, this year, again, it was a fun year to watch these young players develop because they got better and better, and we knew that after the All-Star game they were going to get more minutes, and we're talking about Trey and John and these guys. But you as a coach, what did you learn this year about yourself as far as what you need to continue to do to try and get to that level that you keep talking about?
Communication. The basketball is easy. The X's and O's are easy. The game planning and the preparation is easy. Communication with our players it's not hard. It's ongoing. So having a pulse of, you know, if a guy isn't feeling good about his rotation or his minutes, you know, needing to get ahead of the story and not wait till the problem, you know, and that's a challenge and it's a skill in and of itself. Is I can see him, you know, guys coming back off an injury, you know, it's going to affect the other guy. I need to talk to the other guy and let him know, you know, I'm balance out the minutes a little bit, whoever's got it going. You know, those type of conversations are tough, and I missed out on a couple of them. And I learned during the year, hey, I just got to go to the guy early. I can't wait till after the game. Well, I didn't know I was going to play less minutes. I'll just go to him earlier. Yeah, you're going to play less minutes.
Right.
And it really, you know, it sounds crazy, but it helps them. It helps them as opposed to during the course of the game, like, why am I being taken out? I told you before the game, I'm playing you less. Now, you can be upset about it, but I was direct. And I have to do that all the time. And that's part of what I've learned this year.
Doesn't that sound like a life lesson?
Yes.
Like you could apply that just beyond maybe just being a basketball coach. Do that with your wife, maybe.
Yeah. Just get on it.
Possibly. Hey, Coach, I know that you had mentioned before you jumped on with us here, your summer changed a little bit.
Yeah.
It was going to be maybe summer league at Vegas and maybe a little bit of relaxing. Now, obviously, you're going to be involved in USA basketball. How do you think that experience is going to impact who you are as a coach?
You know, I speak about growth and development for our players all the time, and that's where we are as an organization. You know, I never shy away from my growth and development either. There's no greater situation I can be in for growth and development. I just came back last night from San Antonio. We had our first coaches meeting for the Team USA, and to walk into breakfast with Coach Pop and Steve Kerr and Jay Wright and Jeff Van Gundy and Sean Ford and Ime Udoka. And we're just sitting in a film room from 8 to 4 watching 06 USA versus Greece and 08 USA versus Spain and dissecting the game and learning international rules that's different from the FIBA rules that are different from the NBA rules. My growth and development just skyrocketed. And that was just one day. I had about 40 days with these guys, and I look forward to it, and I'll take the most advantage of it.
Sounds good, man.
I mean, you thought
you're going to Japan and Australia.
We've got Australia and China and L.A. and Vegas this summer, and then I believe it's Vegas and San Francisco, and then Japan, China and Japan maybe next summer with the Olympics. So, you know, I think it's you know, what I hope to do is put in as much work as I can. And it's the same thing I ask our guys, you know, compromise and sacrifice is what we left the season with. I'm sacrificing a lot of time, personal time, to take on a very good opportunity. You know, I'm going to miss out on some of the development of our guys, but I trust my staff and I trust our players to come back with the same approach, whether it's me or anyone else. But I hope I come back as a better coach to help them as well during the course of the year.
The trust with the player thing, because we heard like probably a week or so after your season, and that Trey was already in here putting up J's and putting up shots and everything. Was that something that you talked to him as far as your exit meeting, or was that just all on his own like that?
Well, I think people have to understand that, you know, as an organization, this is our job.
Correct.
And Chelsea leads our performance and training staff. And they put together and devised an all-season strength and conditioning and physical development plan for our guys to get bigger and stronger, to understand their bodies. And so, you know, she laid out the timeline of what was needed. You know, 3 weeks in May, 3 weeks in June, 3 weeks in August, 3 weeks in September, so that when we start training camp, they've committed and devoted the time that is necessary for them to, you know, we're going to ask Trey to get bigger. We're going to ask Kevin to get stronger. Well, you got to put in the work. And so now that they know there's a plan and it's laid out, you know, I think any player, they all want to be coached.
Yes.
And they all want to know why and what they're doing. Well, we gave them the why and we gave them the what. It's on them now to respond. And they all have. They all have been here.
One thing that I don't – maybe you can coach it. Maybe guys just have it. But Trey seems to have the desire to lead, the desire to be the guy that's the voice. And when he FaceTimes Cam Reddish on the night of the draft, when you see that, what does that make you think of?
I can go a lot of directions
sure.
on that. The desire to lead is learn, and it's something that we're still assisting all of our guys on what leadership is, because it comes in, and I've spoken to all of our guys, leadership comes in a variety of forms, by example, by communication, by sacrifice, being creative in your leadership. So we're trying to educate Trey, because he's a leader by example on the court, how to do it verbally and vocally with the guys as well. FaceTime thing is just different to me. That's just a modern day deal where I get on the phone and I got my face in his face and we're talking. So when I saw that, I just go a different direction. It's just the day and age of our guys. I don't FaceTime anybody.
You never FaceTimed anybody before?
I FaceTime my daughter, who's 10 months.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what, all right.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That's
just
a good
because we're on the road a lot and I want to see what Maya's up to in her development, but that's kind of it.
Well, we appreciate
the
FaceTime with us here at the practice facility. Coach, thanks so much for the time. I know you're going to have a busy summer, but have a great summer, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, Coach.
All right.
That's head coach Lloyd Pierce there. Talk to Travis Schlenk, Coach Pierce, and Cam Reddish. We'll come back and let you hear a little clip from each of them and react to what we heard today as well, right here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, coming to you live from the Emory Sports Medicine Complex, the Atlanta Hawks practice facility. This hour, by the way, brought to you by Right from the Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line open as well, 404-741-0929. And we've been up here all morning and now early afternoon. Had a chance to talk to a pretty good group of people today, Randy. That was pretty fun last hour we just did.
Oh, yeah, it was a great time. Got a chance to talk to, of course, Cam. Had some fun with that was a lot of fun with him with the Outcast. It was funny when it first came on, when he put his headphones on,
he knew exactly
what it was. He started just smiling and laughing. Chance to talk to Travis and see how he just seems like he's never rushed, you know what I'm saying, like he's always calm and everything like that. And listening to him talk about the team and Cam and everything, and of course Lloyd Pierce, just the fact that, you know, the USA basketball, how big time that is. And he had us, before we came on air, him talking about that he thought he was going to have some vacation time. But
nope.
Now he's having to do all this stuff and then having to do some things for the league. So, yeah, it's going to be a crazy summer for Coach Pierce. But he got his guy, and hopefully in 2 weeks we'll be able to talk about the other guy.
Yeah, can't wait.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be able to talk about the other guy. Or two other guys,
two
actually,
other guys.
Coming up in 2 weeks. But we talk about this a lot with the Falcons, Randy, about how – there seems to have, ever since Dan Quinn showed up, be a very unified message.
Yes.
Dan Quinn,
they all sound alike,
speaks a certain type of language.
Yeah.
Everyone else has picked up on that language, and you hear Matt Ryan do it. You hear everybody do it. Even Julio, Devontae, like guys will really start to use Quinnisms. I think that that's good because that means that they're hearing what Dan Quinn is saying to them, and it seems like they value what Dan Quinn is saying to them. A pretty clear, unified vision between what we just got done talking to here in this room. And I know Cam Reddish is brand new, and you know, after a while, Cam Reddish will probably get used to the way things are done around here, and he probably, you know, it seems like a pretty nice situation to step into with these two guys. But Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce sound very much on the exact same page.
Yes.
And the thing that's so unique about them, and having covered NBA teams before, talked to general managers, coaches, not just in the NBA, other leagues, and you've been in the league, they're really humble.
Yes.
And they're really just sort of relaxed about the way that they're going about things, and the humility that they use in speaking to us. That's rare, man. Not everybody has that same approach.
But here's the thing, when you're talking about those two guys, because they're attached to the hip, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Travis Schlenk, his first hire was Lloyd Pierce. So, you know, he talked to it. He told us also why he chose Lloyd Pierce, because of the way he communicates with young players and everything like that. Because knowing that we're going to have to build this thing through the draft. So I need somebody that communicate with this guy. That's why I asked him that question about how do you get these AAU type babies that are so used to having the ball, used to having all the accolades. How do you get those guys to form as one and think as one? And his answer was great. He focused on the person. You know, and then once you get that, then all the basketball stuff will take care of itself. But, yeah, it was a great – I always love the chance to talk to Coach Pierce and everything. But, yeah, Travis, his – you can tell his vision is coming to fruition. You know what I'm saying? Like, so far, so good. I know he wants to be humbled, as he should be and as he always has been when he's talking on our station. But, yeah, he sit back like, yeah, I know.
I mean, he should. Yeah, he should. He should puff his chest out a little bit. But he's also right, though. And, I mean, I asked him the question. I said, you know, analyze the time you've spent here. Like, are you kind of where you wanted to be? He said, yeah, sure, but a lot of it has to do with luck. And he's right. Like, you can plan and hope and whatever, develop, but also lose game, whatever. Like, trade and get in the right spots. You have to pick the right people mm-hmm. and develop them when they get here. But B, like, Cam Reddish may go on to be what? Who knows? He might go on to be great. He might go on to be average. Whatever. We have no idea what Cam Reddish is going to be. But if Cam Reddish goes on to be great, like, how lucky are they that the teams that could have taken him didn't take him?
Yeah.
Like, you can't control that. The Hawks moved up to take a player at number four. They could have taken Cam Reddish.
They
didn't. And then there was five opportunities after that for other teams to take Cam Reddish, and none of them did.
Yeah.
And Cam Reddish falls to number 10. If he turns out to be an all-star for the next 10 years,
you're good to go.
That's amazing, and you got it right, but you also got lucky.
Yeah, and he said that. I mean, and a lot of that with because, like you said, you can't control the other 29 teams. And I know that Minnesota and Phoenix thing did throw a monkey wrench in it, because you're like, uh-oh. Because you don't plan for stuff like that. And – you know, for them to sit back and wait and get the guy that they wanted. And again, this is going to be a while, because he is, you know, I think their main thing with Cam is, let's get him 100% healthy. Let's not rush him into the summer league and all that. And speaking of summer league, man, you were talking out the air about Kevin Herter, because you said something a couple of days ago about him not being at summer league. And to me, when we're listening to that conversation we had, I don't think it was injury related.
Don't think so. Not at all.
It sounded to me like you said, like he was telling us. Kevin's been here. I think Kevin's been putting that work in.
Yeah, I think two or three things are at play. And I like two of them. I maybe don't like one of them that
Uh-oh.
Much. That, well, in talking to Lloyd Pierce about the plan that they have him on to be here, and he said specifically Trey and Kevin Herter.
Right.
Trey needs to get bigger. Kevin Herter needs to get stronger.
Right.
And we saw that play out last year. Kevin
yes.
Herter has a lot of skills.
Yes.
Not the strongest guy in the world.
Exactly.
19 years old, 20 years old, coming in the league. We understand that. That's
he
great.
Got his man body.
So be here and work on your man body. That's great. Do that. And so don't worry about going to summer league where you're going to be playing every single day. Be here lifting weights, eating protein shakes, whatever it is you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. This is a great training facility that they have here.
It is
and the
nice.
They have
it
on.
Is nice.
The thing that I wonder, though, because Trey's not playing, partially because of that, partially because Trey doesn't need to play.
Yeah.
Trey proved it his rookie year, he doesn't need to play.
Right.
John Collins went out there and played, what, one or two games last year, because just so him and Trey could get on the same page. And then John sat down, because John doesn't need to play. John proved it his rookie year that he's ready to go. I don't know, personally, for me, that Kevin Herter proved all of that.
Uh-huh.
But I also feel like if you're going to use that, if you're going to use that philosophy with Trey, maybe you have to use it with Kevin Herter too, and just show him that respect
right.
of big time players after their rookie year don't often play in summer league.
They don't.
Kevin Herter's not a big time player though. He's good
not.
And he's a part of the future, but he's not a big time player. So I wonder if that's a part of it. It's like, all right, maybe we'll show him a little extra respect and say that he doesn't have to go there and do this as a way of saying we really believe in what you did. I don't. Maybe that is true. Maybe it isn't true.
We do know Amari Spellman is going,
yeah,
which I think we all know he needs to be there.
I don't need you think you need to worry
yeah,
about that
yeah.
with him.
Yeah, which we are all probably, he needs to be.
Get
there.
Out there and exercise.
Yeah, get you.
Maybe go for a couple jogs in the Nevada sun.
Just sweat vest under your under uniform. A
couple salads.
Yeah.
Maybe a smoothie. I went to Arden's Garden the other day. That's a great place here in Atlanta. You can get smoothies. Maybe Amari Spellman could go over there.
Yeah.
I know they got smoothies. Whatever.
You know all the good places.
I'm just talking about being healthy, man. That's all. I need to get back on my grind. There was a picture that they took when we were interviewing Schlenk,
mm-hmm.
you and me next to each other. You've been doing so good with your keto.
Uh-huh.
You're looking all slim and fit.
Right.
I'm feeling, I don't know.
Well, Andy, you're not fat.
I know that, but I was looking at the picture, feeling like, dang, look how good Randy looks.
I need to
get back on my own personal fitness journey as well.
Yeah.
That's just how I was feeling.
A humble brag. Yeah.
I just wanted to let you
look
know.
All right, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I'm sharp.
That's good. You should feel good about it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that took an unusual turn. We are going to get to what's trending coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Because of everything we've been doing up here, there's been so much going on, and such a cool opportunity to talk to Cam Reddish and Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce. We've kind of neglected the Atlanta Braves over the last couple hours. Braves got a big game tonight. Julio Teheran.
Big series
coming up the next 4 days against the Cubs. Big game one of the series coming up tonight with Julio Teheran on the mound. I know you already reverse jinxed
it. Yeah, I did.
Do you need to do it twice?
No.
Or would that
no.
double the reverse back unjinx?
No. We already know what's going to happen. Julio, there's no such thing as reverse back jinx and all that stuff you're just talking about. Okay. Julio's going to give up probably an early first, second round.
Chris Bryant first.
Chris Bryant first inning.
Home run. Okay.
And then Julio. Then I'll scream Julio, and then he'll settle down and give us his strong five.
We've also got some Atlanta United news to get into and what's trending coming up next. I do want to let Atlanta United supporters know you can join 92.9 The Game this Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. at Hobnob Neighborhood Tavern in Brookhaven for the Atlanta United versus Chicago Fire Watch Party. Great food and drinks plus Atlanta United prize giveaways. We'll come back with the 1 o'clock hour. About an hour away from the AMA. You can get your AMA questions in now on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to get in early. Nothing wrong with an early AMA question. Coming up next, though, we'll get into what's trending right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!